This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one man band. I'm the number one fan. Trade it all away. How could I have been so blind to not see where it would wind up? Bitter price that I would have to pay. Stretched arms, he'd welcome me. Why did I ever walk away? The road back home, that's the road I must get on. Take me to the road that leads to home. Take me to the
Welcome to another episode of Me and My 88 Friends. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host, and this is episode 138. The song we just heard is called The Road Back Home, and it's based on the famous prodigal son story that Jesus told in the book of Luke. It's probably one of the most famous stories in all of history, and it's a great story, and some people believe it was even a true story. But if you remember the Bible story, it's about a young man who wanted to get his inheritance early. And that would have meant one third of his father's income, because his older brother, according to the customs, got two thirds. They got a double portion, the oldest child. So he wanted his money early. His father let him take the money, and he went off and spent it. And he ended up in poverty, in great poverty. And nobody would give him anything. He wasted all that money on parties and sinful living. And there came a point where this man, who was now working, feeding pigs, which was a very disgraceful thing for a Jewish man to have to do, that's the only job you can get is to feed pigs. He's in the pig pen, and he says, basically, I'm a fool. I need to go back home. This is not the real me. And I need to humble myself. I was very proud before, but I need to go back and tell my father, I just want to be your servant. I'm sorry. And if you know the story, you know that the father was waiting on him. The father ran out to the road and put his arms around him and said, let's forget about the past. It's a new life. It's like you've come back from the dead. And the Bible says there's great joy whenever any sinner comes to Jesus. And so that's The Road Back Home. It's the title of my next to the last album that I've done. I've done 10, and this was project number 9. And we did this in 2011. And on this episode tonight, we want to just do a lot of music. And we want to feature this album. A few weeks ago, I did my latest album, which is Living in the Shadow. But this was The Road Back Home. I just want to highlight this album, play the songs on it, and talk a little bit about each song. So I hope you sit back and listen to the stories and listen to these songs. I want to play another song now called Never Escape the Father's Love.
Still be there.
That was a song called Never Escape the Father's Love. Every time I play that song or sing that song, my mind usually goes back to this little town in Ohio called Hicksville, Ohio. Back in the early 70s, when the Jesus movement was going full blast, the group I was in, called the Fishermen, were asked to sing in Hicksville at an old renovated theater. And when I say old, I mean old. Wooden fold-up seats. Wooden floors. I think it was the kind of theater where they played Ben-Hur with a piano player playing an upright piano, silent movies or whatever. It was old. And anyway, it must have been a dead town. I don't know if there's a reason it was called Hicksville, but nothing was really going on. So we had a huge crowd showed up, huge crowd of young people, and even a well-known former rock and roll singer who lived in the area came out. He didn't stay but about 3 minutes. I don't think he liked our musicality, as they would call it. But we gave an altar call for those who would like to come and give their life to Jesus. And there was just tons of people coming forward and kneeling at the front. And we were singing. We were asking if anybody would like to make a public profession. At some point, there was a girl who got out of her seat, and I thought she was going to follow her friends to the front. But she took a left turn and bolted out the back door, or the front door, onto the street, slammed the door, made a big scene. So it wasn't that long. A few minutes later, the door flies open again, and the same girl comes in and runs to the front and kneels down. And she let out a profanity or two. I won't tell you what she said, but the cleaned up version is, bleep, he's out there too. I can't run away from him. I wanted to get out of here and to get away from him, but he's out there too. Faster I ran, the faster he ran. So I give up. I want to give my life to Jesus. And so you never can escape his love. Doesn't matter if you try, his love is still there. And I knew a guy one time who said, there was a famous rock and roll song back when I was in college called I Fought the Law and the Law Won. This guy became a minister. He said, I fought the Lord and the Lord won. So that's that. Now, the third song on this album called The Road Back Home is maybe the shortest song that I've ever recorded. But it's a Bible story, too, about the lady who was out of hope and touched the hem of Jesus' garment and was healed of a infirmity that she had had for 12 years with no relief from anyone. It's called The Healer.
She heard someone say the healer was passing through. So she rushed through the crowd, hoping out loud the rumor she heard was true. She had suffered gone, yet the thought that he might draw near lit a small flame inside she could not deny. Then she heard someone whisper, he's here. Then her faith quickly rose. If I could just touch his clothes,
I believe I will surely be healed. And so she stretched out her arm and touched the hem of his garment, and both of them knew that her faith had broken through. For the rest of her life, she would smile with delight when she paused to recall the day the healer passed through. Are you desperate today? He's passing your way.
In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus makes this famous statement to a church. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me." It's a very famous scripture that is used many times when you're talking to people about what it means to accept and receive Christ. There's a little mini sermon there. First of all, he says, "Behold," that means, "Can I have your attention, please? Look over here." It's like somebody snapping their fingers. He says, "I'm standing at the door." That says to me, he's close. He's not far away. He's standing right at the door. And he says, if anyone hears my voice, I'm knocking. But I'm not going to come in unless you open the door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him, and I will dine with him. I will eat with him. We'll have great fellowship together." And that's what a life with Jesus really is. It's a friendship walk. It's a fellowship. He says, "I'll dine with him and he with me." But the thing there is, you've got to open the door. He is a gentleman, and he's not going to knock you down and make you love him. And I wrote this song called "I Heard a Knock" back in around 75, 76. We recorded it on our live Fisherman album on Valentine's Day, 1976. And then when I put this album out, the Road Back Home album, we redid it. And my wonderful producer, Rich Mopurgo, said, "I've got an idea." And so we brought in this Dixieland bunch of musicians, and we did it Dixieland style, and it was just a lot of fun, but a lot of truth in here. And what I'm doing in this song is going a little bit about the struggle that people have. Most people don't automatically go and open the door. They struggle. They put it off. And anyway, this is "I Heard a Knock," and it's going to be followed by a song called "Springtime." Knocking at my door. Oh, he kept It's a really hot, steamy day today in South Carolina. My wife told me this afternoon, she said, "I just love summer." I said, "Well, you know, I love winter. Winter is my favorite season." And she said, "I know. And here's the thing. The seasons change. It lasts for a while, and it moves to another season." And this song, Springtime, talks about the different seasons in our life. And sometimes there's different seasons even in our walk with the Lord. Sometimes there's seasons of great joy. Sometimes there's seasons of great uncertainty. But the seasons change. And I wrote this song in the 70s, and it had totally different lyrics. It was about a person who was enjoying the springtime of their relationship with Christ. I rewrote it a few years ago, having gone through some seasons as just a tribute to the Lord that He's faithful in whatever season that we go through. And as an older man, knowing that winter's coming, and I said in the last part of that song, "I'll have no fear of the winter, for I know what happens next. Brown fades to green, make way for spring without end." So that was Springtime. Now, this next one is a song called "Worth the Wait, Ode to 2004. I won't go into all the details of this like I have done on the show a few times, but this is a song inspired by the Red Sox, the Boston Red Sox, that used to be America's hard luck team. I think lately they still are, but had not won a World Series in 80-something years, came close over and over again, and when they did win it, and broke what people call the curse, my son and I rode a train, and we went to the victory parade. And it was a great, great day of celebration and thinking about all the disappointments people had had for 80-something years. And as I left there, I said to myself, there's a song somewhere, and this is the song. My producer, Rich Morpurgo, said, "Wow, talk about a limited audience this song is for. You're writing it for born-again Red Sox fans." But hey, I love my Red Sox, and I love my Jesus a million times more. But he's coming back, and that will certainly be worth the wait. This is called "Worth the Wait, Ode to 2004.
To those who wait, and when it happens before your eyes,
I want to play for you one of my all-time favorite songs that the Lord has ever given me. It's called I Will Arise and Go. This is what the prodigal son said when he decided to go back home to his father. There is a story behind the writing of this song. The fisherman, who was my first group I was in, we knew a guy our age who had come to the Lord during a great revival in Anderson, Indiana, but had gotten off on the wrong track later on, and he fell into drug involvement and got in trouble with the law, and he skipped town. He jumped his bail, and he was gone for a long, long time. Nobody knew where he was. And his mother went to a church where we would visit frequently. And I was there on a Wednesday night, and his mother asked for prayer that God would bring this son of hers back home. She hadn't heard from him in months, but she said, I had a dream that he came back. Will you pray for me that God will answer this dream? That was on a Wednesday night. Well, it was within a couple of days, the fishermen, which was Carl Sintrop, Bud Sintrop, and me, were rehearsing in that church because the pastor let us rehearse anytime we wanted to. And as we were singing songs, we looked, and all of a sudden this guy, who nobody had heard from for a long, long time, he was sitting up in the balcony. He had come home. And as we continued to practice, we didn't even acknowledge him, but we began to sing all these songs about the Lord. He moved down to the sanctuary floor about midway. And then a few minutes later, he came and knelt at the altar while we were singing and gave his life to Christ. It was a wonderful, wonderful day. He told me later that there were times when he would sleep under a bridge and he would try to forget about God, but he never could get the love of Jesus off of his mind. And so this is how this song was written. I would say, of all the songs that I've written, it'd be there in the top three or four. I Will Arise and Go.
I
I've been on the road for quite some time, seeking something I just can't find. And in every town where I've lately been, I get the feeling I should go back home again.
You're listening to Me and My 88 Friends, a podcast. This is Lawrence Tuning, your host. I'm a songwriter and a singer, and on this episode, we're playing an album that I did back in 2011. We made this album in Bloomington, Indiana, and a fantastic producer, guitar player, arranger, Rich Morpurgo, produced this one. He's produced the last three albums of mine. And so what we're doing is playing the songs for you on this CD. This next song is called Better Than That, and it's going to be followed by When Morning Breaks.
Played out of tune. The new
coats till the players were standing on the brink. There's gonna be some changes made, starting with the way we think. Last week, somebody told me, last year we didn't do too bad. We ended 5-5. We gotta do better than that. We can do better than that. Gotta get a new mindset. No excuses, no regrets. We can do better than that. Why settle for the minimum? We can win and then some. Say goodbye to the past. We can do better than that. I said, we can do better than that. Fell on her Sunday, she said they repossess my car. I've always been a loser, that's what I'll always be. I guess I shouldn't expect more, you know it runs in the family. A friend said you're pathetic, this conversation stinks. You keep on talking like that, and you'll become just what you think. You can do better than that, gotta get a new mindset. No excuses, no regrets, you can do better than that. Why settle for the minimum? You can win and then some. Say goodbye to the past, you can do better than that. There on that fence, if you live a life of sinning, you'll reap some sad regrets. This could be a new beginning. Hey, you can live better than that. You can live better than that. Gotta get a new mindset. No excuses, no regrets. You can live better than that. Why settle for the minimum? You can live and in song. Say goodbye to the past.
Thank you.
set my sight on you, and I will pray ending each day, and I will sleep knowing you keep me safe.
We're going to now play my gospel boogie woogie song, followed by my gospel blues song. The first song you're going to hear is called As Old As Me. I wrote this to my grandson Dalton when he used to live with us during his early childhood. He and his mother lived with us when my daughter was a single mom. And I wrote this at a time where I was discouraged because I worked a regular job and I had stepped out in faith for a couple of years and tried to go full-time and just do concerts all the time, and it didn't work out. One thing, if you're planning a gospel career, let me tell you something. We sang about seasons a few minutes ago. This is a seasonal job. You have a fair amount of things to do in the fall. You have a fair amount of things to do in the spring, a few things to do in the summer, a few things in the winter. But as I've told someone, if you don't have some groceries stacked away or some money stacked away when you hit Pearl Harbor Day, that's December 7th, from Pearl Harbor Day to Martin Luther King Day, which is mid-January, those are starvation days. Those are famine days. Have some Spam, some soda crackers, something. But anyway, because of financial reasons, I had to go back to work. And that was sort of the end of a dream I'd had for many years. To be able to just do the music full time. I've never had the luxury of having a big bus or anything like that. I've told people that I celebrate Passover many times because I seem to be always passed over when the big shots come around signing record contracts. But anyway, I was feeling down because here I am. I'm not going to be able to go out and share a whole lot. I'm working this job. But Dalton, my grandson, was living with us, and I would tell him Bible stories every night. And I remember one night coming out of his room, it just hit me. It was like the Holy Spirit, I believe, was speaking to me, yeah, deep in my subconscious. I felt he was saying, this might be one of the most important ministries you've ever done, having this time with your grandson to teach him about me and to impart things to him about me. And that's how this song was written. It was a song to this little boy. When you get as old as me, I hope you still love Jesus. And it just makes me so happy. If you listened to our podcast last week, that little boy has shared on my podcast for the fifth time. And it's just a wonderful thing that no matter what we're going through, God can bring great things out of it. And I'm so glad that what I wanted to happen didn't happen. And I was here at home to be with my grandson during his formative years. So that's the Boogie Woogie song, As Old As Me. And this is followed by the song, If I Didn't Know Jesus. Now, we played the If I Didn't Know Jesus last week, but with my current band, Damascus Road. This is the recorded version of it with a great harmonica player. That harmonica player, by the way, is a pediatrician who on weekends plays with the son of Muddy Waters. So great, great harmonica player. So we're going to hear now As Old As Me, followed by If I Didn't Know Jesus.
Seems hard to believe. One of these days you're gonna be full grown with your own child on your knee. Just remember how much I loved you and all the times I hugged you, and I hope you still love Jesus when you get as old as me. Some things you never outgrow, some things you toss aside, some things you just lose interest in, and some things you guard with your life. Just remember what I taught you and do the things you ought to. Don't ever let the devil say gotcha when you get as old as me. Life's gonna rush by. Thank you.
know Jesus, there'd be hell to pay. Ooh, if I didn't know Jesus,
I feel like Frank Sinatra now. I certainly don't sing like him, but I feel like him when he said, "And now the end is near." This is the last song of this album, The Road Back Home. By the way, you can buy that album or different songs from that album through my website or through CD Baby. That's a website, CD Baby. And this song, I just love this song, and we played this song last week, too. I've been privileged to work with some phenomenal guitar players over the years. Jason Dowdy played on the version we played last week, but the version tonight is by my producer. I said he was a great producer, great arranger, and a really great guitar player. And so he plays the guitar on this, and I just love the words. You know, the words don't even say the word Jesus in them, but I'm singing it straight to him. I think I've told you before, this song was inspired when I read the autobiography of Eric Clapton. And Eric Clapton had been in and out of rehab and had failed over and over again. And there came a point where he just fell on his knees and he cried out to God and he said, "God, help me." And that addiction left him. And we can't go wrong to focus on Jesus for the rest of our, for all of our lives. I had a guy come to talk to me a few years ago, and I used to be his pastor. And this guy had been up and down with the Lord. He would fall away and he'd come back. And he came to me one time. He said, "You used to frustrate me. Because no matter what we were talking about, you would always bring it back around to Jesus. Are your eyes on Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Are you following Jesus?" And he said it used to bug me, but then I finally began to see the wisdom of it. And that's the way it's got to be. Just follow him. Love him. Keep your eyes on him. And so that's the gist of this song. When my eyes are on you, I pray to God my eyes will always be on him till I take my last breath.
When my eyes there's a place of peace where the struggles have ceased. I can quickly go there anytime, anywhere, when my eyes are on you. Let me see. Nothing obstructs the view. Just one more glimpse of your grace. It's all I'm asking.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Me and My 88 Friends as we've listened back to an album that I did in 2011 called The Road Back Home. This album is all about Jesus. There's a thread that runs all through it. The great love of God, the great patience and forgiveness of God, the importance to keep our eyes on Him and to come back to Him. And I hope if you don't have a relationship with Him, you will. That you will just, wherever you are, just sit and talk to Him just like you would talk to me or a friend. And just tell Him in your own words, Lord, I need you and I want you. And I'm sorry that I haven't turned to you before now. But I want you to forgive me. I accept your gift of salvation. That you died on the cross for me, that my sins could all be taken away and I could go to heaven. And so I open that door and I ask you to come in And from this point on, I will follow you day by day. That'll be the best prayer you ever prayed in your life. So thank you again. We'll sing or talk to you next week. God bless.
Me and my Eddie.